of life hangs on longer than we expect it. Our former ways of thinking, we bring that into the kingdom. We were born again, yes, but that doesn't mean that our nature actually dropped off just because we made a decision to do the right things. So, as regard to your former way of life, and you got to think about your former way of thinking, and you need to make a decision that it is time for me to put off my old nature. Now, you have to do that putting off. This is something nobody can do for you. As much as someone may want to see you change, they can't change you. Amen. And folks that are trying to change folk, you can't change folk. Let me just help you with that. You're wasting energy trying to change somebody who hadn't decided to change. You better change the way you feel about them and don't allow their inability to change to cause you to see them in a way to where you can't love them in spite of them being where they are. You got to learn how to love folk where they are, not where they ought to be. Okay? I love it for them to be, but this is where they are. Love them there. They have to want to be where you would like for them to be. And if they don't, what are you going to do? You got to love them where they are. Because if you don't, if you're waiting to love somebody when they get to where you want them to be, you may never love them. Because you think they should earn your love. You're giving them a prerequisite. I'll love you when, I'll love you if, I'll love you as long as. No, 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 no. I love you. Now, this is where you are, and I'm going to love you there. I'm going to love you there. Everybody has an old self. That self of that nature is being corrupted, and has been corrupted out thinking about self-preservation, our thinking about how we view life, the old nature. We have carried that around with us so long, it's just a part of us, and we have been corrupted by deceitful desires. And we don't even realize when we have a deceitful desire. We don't even realize it when we don't like somebody because we desire the upper level. And we don't even see that. That's deceitful. We don't even like it when we're not able to get all the glory that we think we ought to have. That's a desire that's in you that's causing you to think the wrong way. And you don't even recognize it. You think it's ambition. No, it's carnal nature. It's carnal nature, and we can't see ourselves unless we start looking at the Word of God and allows it to penetrate our hearts. We have been corrupted by our deceitful desires. To be made new, though, see, this is the goal that God has for every child of His, that He wants to make you new. And it doesn't matter where you were. He has the capacity to make you new. You have to look forward with anticipation to the fact that God is able to make me new. Now, if you don't believe that God can make you new, then there's nothing He can do to make you something that you haven't accepted as a possibility. You gotta believe that God wants you to be, and you have to bring the desire to be. To be made new, where? In the attitudes of your mind. It's all about your mind. It is so much about your thinking. The more I study, the more I learn, the more I understand that it is the thinking, you know. And passages like Philippians chapter 2, and when Paul says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, that takes on a whole new connotation where you understand the kind of thinking that the Lord had to have about us and about His role to be able to humble Himself to come down to do. He had to have the right attitude, or He would have counted it loss. He would have felt like, I'm giving up too much to come down and do this. He had to think the right way. We have to learn to have the right attitude of our mind, and that's what's changing about us. That's what's moving into newness for us. It is our thinking. And you got then put on. There has to be an attitude of change about your life, the way you used to do. Then there has to be a decision to go towards something else. You just can't stop being the old person and that's it. You must gravitate to the new. It's not enough just to stop the old. You gotta go to the new. And that's part of the task that we have. So, mind renewal then takes more than a desire to change. A lot of people want to get better. And they'll tell you, man, I need to change. You know, I need to do, and I ought to do, and I'm going to get around to do. But it takes more than just that desire. I wish all I had to do is say, man, I want to lose 10 more pounds, and that's it. And somehow or another, my body will take that word and just work it out for me, and without me having to engage. I just wish that would happen. But if I'm going to lose 10 more pounds, I got to do more than have a desire. I got to bring a mindset. I got to bring an attitude, a lifestyle. I got to bring a lot of stuff into bear if I'm going to do this. And if you're going to change spiritually to become more than you've ever been for the Lord, by the way, and that is the goal, then you got to do more than just wish it. It takes more than just, I want to be better. It takes more than that to truly change one's mind. You must be prepared to struggle against the one who helped create the need for the mind to change anyway. And that person that you got to struggle against is you. You got to be, if I'm going to lose 10 pounds, I got to make me do something I haven't done. And I got to do it consistently enough to get it done. And the only person that can do that is me. And the only person standing between me and getting it done is me. So in order to deal with a spiritual shift in your life, you got to be willing to go against the person that set your life up where it is right now. You are responsible for where you are right now. You are responsible for the way you have been thinking right now. And your nature being as it is right now, wherever it is all on you. You cannot blame, as we try to do, someone else for your deficiencies. You had to decide to respond to life's challenges in that way. And so, therefore, you are accountable for where you are. And because of that, you can make a decision to move from where you are. You got yourself there, and you got to get yourself out of there. All right? And you got to know that it's you, right? The greatest enemy we'll ever face is not the person on your job. It's not the stranger on the street. It's not even across this room. And sometimes we put a face on our enemy and we think that's our enemy. That's not your greatest enemy. I don't care what people think about you. Your greatest enemy is you. You. And when you understand that, you stop focusing on the wrong things.
Amen.
They are distractions that allow you not to deal with you. It's easy to have an excuse not to work on you. It's easier to work on somebody else than to work on you. Isn't it easy to see the shortfalls of somebody else and we can draw up a blueprint for what they need to do to get their life right? You know, you need to do this and this and this if you're going. But then we can't do the same or look at our own lives and make the same call on ourselves. So your greatest enemy then is you. It's you. It's you. It's the nature that you have, that you have learned to have. You weren't born with the nature. You learned to have this nature over time. I want to talk to you a minute about what this enemy looks like. Paul describes this in Galatians chapter 5. I'm using the God's word translation there because the wording, if I were to read it from Galatians chapter 5 and starting at verse number 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit lusts against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you may. You would. That's the King James Version. Listen to how Paul describes this in this translation. Verse number 16. Let me explain further. Live your life as your spiritual nature directs you. Then you will never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. Live your life as there's a nature, your spiritual nature. Now, when you get the holiness of God in you, you have a nature that has been planted that's brand new. It's brand new. And everybody has that nature in them, and that is the nature of God. But you haven't lived in that nature long enough to let it become an automatic response in your life. You have it, but you have not developed it. You have not grown with this nature. You have grown with that other nature, and you've been living with that other nature for so long, and it is so comfortable, but you have this new opportunity to start gravitating toward a change. And it doesn't always feel comfortable because whenever you move to a new place, it feels unfamiliar. You don't know how it's going to work for you. See, even the idea of loving somebody that doesn't love you goes against your nature a little bit. You know, I know what the Bible says about that, but really, is that really what he expects? And then how do I live that, you know? How do I love somebody like that? How did that play out? And so we automatically start discounting God's ways, what the Spirit is moving us to do. We don't even consider living out that in our nature. And so we just write that off. And consequently, we stay in the old way. We stay in the old way. Not that we don't have the capacity to move to the new way, but that we don't feel comfortable and we have not taken the chance to go become new. There is a fear of what you're going to become if you become all God wants you to become. Who will that person be? Well, it won't be you. You're going to be somebody else. You're going to lose your old nature in lieu for God's nature. And that's the goal, by the way. That's what God intended. Live your life as your spiritual nature directs you. Then you'll never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. You have to be able to recognize and identify when you are moving towards the old nature or you're moving towards the new nature that's in you. There's a distinct difference between doing things like you've always done it and doing things the way God would have you to do. And you got to know the difference. You got to see it. You got to see as you are formulating the thoughts of what you're going to say and do in this situation. You got to say to yourself, is this leaning me more towards my old nature and the way I handle things? Or is it moving me towards the Spirit of God that He's given in me? And if it's going that way, though it feels uncomfortable, I gotta build on this nature. I gotta develop this nature. Therefore, I'm gonna choose to do what the Spirit is leading me to do, in lieu of what I know I'm natural, I can naturally do. I don't have to think about this. See, you're not going to follow through on the corrupt nature when you make the decision you're going to live in the spiritual nature. Now, everybody has to make that decision. It's more to being spiritual than just making it to service. It's so much more to being spiritual than just knowing a few Bible verses. It's more to being spiritual than just being able to execute the communion or to sing. Or it's just more than that. It is the way you live your life. And you live that life that way 24/7. You don't just pick it up when service time. You don't dust off the spirituality to get ready for church. It's something you wear all the time. And I'm gonna tell you this. Learning how to put it in practice in your home really gives you the testing ground to keep it on all the time. Stop giving yourself excuses not to be your best because you're at home. Dealing with the folk that are closest to you, and they know you right, so you feel comfortable in staying where you are. No, 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 no. You got to stop doing that at home. Get your nature right at home. The people around you ought to see the best you every day. And growing instead of that old nature. And then we put on a smile when we're around folk that are outside of our family. You ever had somebody call the house and you know you've been in the wrong character? And you pick up the phone, hello. Yes. How you doing? And you put a smile on your face, and you just sound just like you're right in the right nature, and everybody watching you saying, now how do you do that? How she do that? Because no, that ain't the nature you just demonstrated. That says that we know how to change back and forth. It's a matter of making a decision to stay in that way. What your corrupt nature wants, now watch this, is contrary to what your spiritual nature wants. There's a part of you that does not want you to be righteous. And that's you. It's a part of your nature that does not want you to become spiritual. Because in order to become spiritual, you must put to death that nature. And the nature doesn't want to die. Like Jason on the movies, you know, you just can't kill him. Okay? You kill him and you think he dead and he get up again. You know, and I mean that, and that's the way that old nature is. You think you put you to bed. And then something happened and the old you come out again. You say, I thought that was dead. No, it's like Jason. It don't die easy. You gotta show enough, kill it. Lock it up, bury it, and you gotta make sure it never resurrects. Because what your corrupt nature is what it wants is contrary to what your spiritual nature wants. And what your spiritual nature wants, God, the God of you, the God in you, is contrary to what your corrupt nature wants. There lies the internal battle that every person has to deal with. And if you are not successful in this eternal battle, it doesn't matter what face you put on. It doesn't matter what mask you masquerade in. The reality is your old nature is beating you. And you must beat it. If you're going to win. if you're going to win. And you can beat it. By the way, I want you to know, you can beat you. Okay, you really can. Your old nature cannot rule over you when you make your mind up to go in the way of the Lord. He has to submit. He has to surrender. But he ain't gonna give up without a fight, okay? They are opposed to each other, and as a result, watch this, you don't always do what you intended to do. Is that a true statement or not? Have you ever acted in a way you didn't intend to act, but you acted that way anyway? Ever said anything you didn't intend to say, but before you knew it, you said it anyway? That's what's going on internally. Now, we have to learn, as children of God, that we're not helpless creatures and we're not helpless and we just can't do anything about it. That is a lie. You can do something about it when you make the decision. Our corrupt nature is reflected in these behaviors. Now, if you want to know whether or not your nature is winning, these are some of the descriptions of the fact that your old nature is winning. And you got to be honest with yourself. It's reflected in these behaviors. Paul says in Galatians 5, now the effects of the corrupt nature are obvious, and by the way, they are. You can't miss when the corrupt nature is really leading. It's obvious. Illicit sex takes place. When your corrupt nature is leading, then you just do things because you feel compelled to. Here's the thing. You don't like what you do afterwards. You don't like who you have become afterwards. But it's during the course you get started in there, and that's what that nature does for you. Illicit sex, perversions, promiscuity. These are signs of that nature of yours. Idolatry, worshiping things other than God, drug use, trying to escape reality because we don't like where we are in life and therefore we need something to give us an edge. So use drugs. Hatred. When you allow that old nature to feel justified in feeling like you do about somebody, And keeping that hatred where you can almost cut it, you know that you can't stand them. And you have justified not standing them. That's hatred. That's a sign that your old nature is ruling. Rivalry. You know, where we just going against somebody, if they say right, you gonna say left because you don't like them anyway. If they say up, you gonna say down. Jealousy. And jealousy is a big thing, and it's hard to admit to yourself when you're really jealous of somebody else. That's a hard pill for us to swallow. Jealousy. Angry outbursts. Man, how many times have you allowed your old nature to flare up and it took the form of you look like you're becoming somebody else? That's the old nature. And you lost control because the old nature took control. You can't take it back. Boy, you wish you could, but that was you. You know, selfish ambitions, conflict. This is one of the true signs. If every time there's an issue that causes conflict, if you always in it somewhere, you somewhere in there, that's your old nature ruling. It ought not be that most conflicts has something to do with you. Factions, where we divide up. Envy, and it's another big one. We're jealous and we envious of folk. for whatever reason, that's the old nature. Drunkenness, wild partying. Who got in after one last night? Don't raise your hand. And similar things. Okay? And stuff like this. That's what the corrupt nature is looking like. And if you know you got some of that in you, you ain't alone. We all got some of that in us. And every last one of us has to deal with that old nature and put it to bed. And if you don't put it to bed, it will rule your life. It will do as much as you will put up with. Now, you got to get to where you don't tolerate him at all. He's not going to take a little. The old nature wants to reign. He wants to do it all for you. So our conversion then, it did not remove these out of our nature. See, when you obeyed the gospel, you didn't forget how to lie. You know, it'd been nice if that was washed away. You know, you didn't forget how to plot wrong. You didn't forget how to do all the stuff you knew how to do. You was just cleansed. See, our conversion gave us the power to remove these out of our lives with the Spirit's help. But it didn't take it away. Took sin away, but didn't take your nature away. Would it have taken the nature too? Just took the sin. No longer guilty, but it's still in you. Ephesians 4, listen. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitudes of mind. Watch this. And to put on the new self created. The new person, your new self, is a brand new creation that you and God collaborate with to make. God's spirit and your desire create something in you that you've never been. That's why if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things do what? Well, how did it become new? Because you created it. You and God created something that wasn't there at first. How well are you working on your creation? Are you working on it at all? If you are, you ought to be able to feel the struggle that you're having to deal with your old nature, and God will give you the strength to overcome you. Your greatest enemy, by the way. Your greatest enemy, by the way. So this new creation, through our mind renewal, see, that's how all that mind renewal is a part of the new creation. It's changing your mind about the way you think that gives you the impetus to start the change to the new you. You got to stop feeling okay about the old nature, your old nature. You got to, and don't beat yourself up. Everybody has a bad nature, but everybody can move and choose to become the new creation. Even though you've been that way, you don't have to stay that way. So through mind renewal becomes our changed nature. We change. We literally change. You know, it's not like I looked at my hands and they were new. I looked at my feet and they were too. Your body doesn't change, but your mind changes. And when your mind changes, your behavior changes because you have changed direction. Galatians 5. Listen, but the spiritual nature in verse 22, It produces this. It produces love. See, when you make a decision to gravitate towards the spiritual nature, you start learning how to love unconditionally. You stop putting prerequisites on your love. I love you when, I love you if, and you start just loving people. It produces a joy in you. I really believe this joy stems from the fact that you know you're doing God's word, God's way, and you are rejoicing in your spirit over the fact that you are conquering your old nature. Amen. And that puts a smile on your face. It's between you and God, and you know God knows you are moving in the right direction. Joy. You don't need to have an external stimulus. It's internal. The spiritual nature that you have produces a peace in you, in your life. It produces a peace about you. It brings peace around you. Because that's part of you, nature. It's a spiritual patience which brings forbearance, amen. Learning how to put up with folk when their nature is not where it needs to be. We stop writing people off as useless because their nature is not where it needs to be. We haven't always had our nature where it needs to be, and we learn how to love people where they are. It's a patience. It's a forbearance. We got to put up with folk. We got to learn how to love them, putting up with them where they are. Because sometimes they interact and that oldness comes out. And when you see it, you pray for them. Pray for that new man. Pray for the new nature, kindness. It's a goodness. It's a faithfulness. It's gentleness. It's a way you deal with people that allows you to touch them with compassion and care. It's a kindness, and it's a self-control. All of this comes from the Spirit. You have to allow the Spirit in you to help you to develop these attributes. These are not suggestions. The Spirit wants this to be in you and will help you to become this when you decide to fight the enemy. Because that's the only thing preventing you from being all this is your old nature. You got to lose yourself. And that's why when Jesus say things, if any man come unto me, let him first deny himself. You got to give up yourself. Let him take up his cross daily and let him follow me. He's telling you, you're going to have to deal with you. And if you are not willing to deal with you, though God has saved you, but you've never worked at becoming all that God intended for you to become, how you going to stand before him, giving an account of the stewardship of your life, knowing you never worked that hard? Some of you, and I'm closing up, some of you, if you played sports, any organized sports, you wanted to be good at it, you practice. You really practice. If it was basketball, you know, you didn't just go to the gym during practice time. You know, whenever you had a moment, you was working on the things that you need to work on. If it was your layup or if it was your jump shot, whatever it is, you practice. You practice because you wanted to get better at it. If it was football, you practice. You know, if you need to get your strength up, man, you worked out off season and you really worked at it. You know, you worked on your speed. You know, you did sprints, you drilled yourself, you put weights on and ran with them. You practice. You know, if it was baseball, man, you hit balls, you go to the batting cage and you hit balls and you hit balls until your eye and hand coordination come together so you can see that ball coming from all angles, you know. Whatever it is, you worked at it because you wanted to be better. How in the world, if it's a degree of a job you want, you go to school and you learn stuff that you didn't want to learn because you had a goal in mind that you wanted to be in a certain position. You wanted to obtain a certain job, a title, an income status. And so you worked at it. It wasn't going to be given to you. You worked at it. How in the world are you going to work hard for everything in life but not your soul salvation? When are you going to work hard to develop your spiritual life? When are you going to the gym spiritually? When are you doing the sprints in your mind to make sure you keep yourself in check? What are you doing to work on you? You just can't sit up in here and don't go home and do something. And meditate on it. And make it, write it down. Where you want to be spiritually. And then what do I need to do to get there? You work on every other area of your life. You got to put the time in. And you can't stand before God having done all these other things. You know, you decide you want to drop a dress size and you go, you kill yourself. You kill yourself. You ain't eating, you know. You drinking little stuff here and there because you want to go down. You deny your body saying, give me something. No, you ain't getting nothing right now because I got to do this. And you go through all that effort to look better, to feel better. Now, what effort are you making to be better? That's the war. And you don't want to be conformed to this world. This is something that is not a worldly. People in the world don't even have this on their radar. It ain't on their radar to get better spiritually. So don't be conformed to this world, but you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when that mind changes, everything changes, that you may prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest and just and good and pure and lovely, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We have an enemy within us. The question is, who's winning? You or your enemy? Are you going to let your enemy take you down? Are you putting up any resistance at all? Are you just giving in? Are you really fighting the good fight of faith? You know, God knows. He knows the efforts you're putting out. If you're not doing what you know you need to do, then we've come to the point to where we can start making a decision to change. It starts with a decision. You better than anyone knows where you are. If you need to change, it ought to start today. Tomorrow's not promised. While the Spirit is prompting you, saying to you, that's you need to do. If the Spirit is prompting you, have the courage to come and ask for prayer. Acknowledge that you're not where you need to be inwardly. And ask the church to pray with you so that you can start gravitating towards that end and make the decision today. Start now moving in that direction. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, this is the day to become a part of the kingdom of God. The day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today becomes the acceptable day of salvation. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And so let's rejoice and be glad in this day, because tomorrow is not promised. Whatever your need, whatever your desire, I pray you have the courage to respond right now while we stand and sing. Won't you come right now?